You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back for our weekly Steelers mock draft video with Brian Batko. This is our mock draft tracker video where we kind of talk about mock draft picks from around the internet. Brian, we got canceled last week because you and I were just sitting down to do this exact video, and then the Steelers traded Kenny Pickett, which was not even the most exciting moment of the weekend because obviously they then traded for Justin Fields. So we were busy, didn't get to talk a lot about the draft last week. So I'm excited to get into it with you this week, especially because these quarterback questions, I think, at least at the top, are pretty well resolved. How are you?
I'm doing well. Isn't it like kind of – isn't this kind of a week that mock drafts can take a brief hiatus from the low-hanging fruit content world because it's sort of bracket time right now. And you know, everybody's clicking on brackets and – looking at March Madness predictions over mock drafts for a week, although maybe not here in Pittsburgh with Steelers fans.
I know. I think that's the big thing. I don't know how many – this is not the biggest basketball town. You and I love the hoops. I am engrossing myself in it. I was at the arena for 12-plus hours on Thursday, but I'm not sure how many people are on our wavelength. So we'll talk a little mock draft. We're going to get into some wide receiver talk. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU is showing up in several mock drafts, and then
we should have done a bracket of mock draft possibilities. Could have
that would actually be fun.
Married the two clickbait. Yeah, that could have been great.
Yeah, that's something we could still do, you know, before the Final Four or something. So we'll look into that. But we're going to get into Brian Thomas Jr. He's been showing up in more mocks lately as a potential first round option for the Steelers. We're also going to talk about some guys that are further down the line, potential second, third round picks at that position. So heavy on the receiver talk today. We're also going to get into center, cornerback, and maybe some tackle. Brian, before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Okay, Brian, let's talk Brian Thomas Jr. I think he showed up in one mock last week. I actually had the thumbnail for the video made before he was going to be the lead of the video, but then obviously we had other things happen. Mel Kiper Jr. was the big name that poured some gas on that fire this week. I think Chris Trapasso from CBS also had him as a pick for the Steelers. If the Steelers don't make a move between now and the draft for an obvious number two wide receiver option, are you looking at any of these first-round guys as options for them? I guess we can start with Brian Thomas Jr., but I think Adonai Mitchell from Texas on that list, Xavier Worthy from Texas also on the list because it's been reported, I think, this week that they had an extensive meeting with him back at the Combine. What's your read on, I guess, Brian Thomas Jr., first of all, but first-round receivers generally as well, given where we sit in terms of the Steelers' offseason?
I think you certainly look, but I'm not convinced they should go that route. I just think the plan for the Steelers at receiver right now going into the draft is simplified to a degree now that Deontay Johnson is in Charlotte. It's, hey, George Pickens, big dog time. All right, you're the guy now. Let's put all the, pouting about targets to the side. Let's not worry any longer about who's getting the most stats, you or Deontay. We're going to be feeding you the rock, and we'll get somebody to take some attention away from you on the other side. But, you know, you're our number one guy. I think that gets murky a bit if you draft one in the first round. So that's one dynamic. But even more important than that, just simple roster construction you need linemen. I mean, yeah, you need somebody to protect the guys who are throwing to George Pickens and whoever else ends up in that receiving core. So, I mean, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, obviously a heck of a prospect at just under 6'3". I think he ran a 4.3 something, and his speed is what jumps out about him on tape. You know, that LSU offense was fun and wide open. Big reason why Jaden Daniels won the Heisman was thrown to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, both of whom would probably be first rounders. Nabers, you know, maybe even top five or at least top 10. So, you know, he's a good college player that I think will be a fun addition to an offense out there. I just don't know if it's going to make sense and line up with the Steelers given their current roster needs elsewhere too.
Yeah, I guess the only follow-up question I'd have on that, Brian, is, I mean, there does seem to be some heat in the Brandon Ayuk conversation. You know, we've talked a little bit about Tyler Boyd. I mean, do you look at those, you know, rumors, reports at all and say it looks like they're interested in getting a solid number two? Does that complicate, you know, what you would do versus what you think the Steelers might do?
I think solid number two is one thing. You draft a number two in the first round, and you want your first round pick to be more than solid. 20th overall guy, you want him to be a long-term game changer for you. And at some point, it just becomes mathematical almost. And that Arthur Smith's offense is tight end heavy. You want to lean into using your ground game with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Pat Freiermuth is a reliable factor underneath and over the middle of the field. At what point are there just not enough looks to go around to justify a first round receiver to me, especially when, again, you know, tough to throw the ball from your back if you're Russell Wilson, and you know, Dan Moore Jr. could still very easily be upgraded over with a first round tackle, and you know, the center spot, they've just got very minimal options there. So I think they're doing their due diligence to flesh out the receiver room. Of course, you know, there's one thing we've learned this month from Omar Khan and company, there's always a price for guys. And if they run into a good one, they won't turn down that possibility. But that's just sort of why I'm not in the first round wide receiver camp for somebody like Mel Kiper Jr. or, you know, whoever else is doing the national mocks right now for the Steelers. They might be looking at, hey, not much behind Pickens, and Brian Thomas Jr. is a top 20 player in the draft. But I just think there are more factors to consider there with what they need right now.
Let's get into the later rounds. I think you set that up well. Ricky Pearsall is a name that I think you and I have talked about once in the past. He is a Steelers top 30 visit, one of the early ones there. He's flying up draft boards because he was pretty quick at the NFL Combine. I think it was 4.41 in the 40. I've seen him now. He's a guy we had been talking about in like the third, fourth round in some of the mocks that I saw early on. He was in two mocks this week as a second rounder. In one of them, it was, I believe, a PFF mock had him going as high as number 35 to Arizona. That surprised me a little bit, Brian. But is he the type of guy you look at as more of the fit that you're looking for here, as a, you know, maybe second, maybe third round pick? Because I think there is some mixed stock on him too, because Lance Zierlein, a guy you and I both like a lot, has him more of a, he projects him more as an average starter, probably not in the top 15 at that position in this draft. So how do you assess him as a prospect, given that we know the Steelers are looking at him pretty closely?
I like Ricky Pearsall. I would be curious to look more into the Lance Zierlein write-up of what he isn't enamored with Pearsall. I think, like you said, Adam, he tested well athletically. He was very productive at Florida, and he transferred in there from Arizona State. So he's a West Coast guy originally from Phoenix. Steelers don't draft a ton of players from that part of the country, especially skill position guys. Juju was one who obviously worked out. But, with Pearsall, it makes sense to me because I think it is going to be in that second and third round range, which is where I would begin targeting a receiver in the draft if I'm the Steelers, because I think you can thread that needle of, okay, you're getting a good productive player who, you know, won't allow teams to devote too much schematic attention to George Pickens all the time. But there's going to be no debate over what the pecking order is target wise for Russell Wilson or Justin Fields if we end up in that world. So not surprised that Pearsall has already been a visitor. I also like his versatility, plays outside and inside, brings that experience to the NFL, whereas I think Thomas was mainly just an outside speed threat burner for LSU. So that's another box I like that, that Pearsall checks.
Do you think the second round, I mean, are you looking at him as a potential second rounder at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't think that would be too rich for Pearsall. Obviously, it would depend on who else is on the board. And in that tier of guys, I like Ladd McConkey and Roman Wilson probably a little bit more. And I'm intrigued by Xavier Leggett or Leggett. Carter and I talked about him on the Friday show a bit because he visited too this week. So, I mean, he's a bigger bodied guy than Pearsall. Played more on the outside, I believe, for the Gamecocks. So I don't know that he'd be a slam dunk second rounder for me, but at least at this juncture, I wouldn't hate it. And, you know, obviously if the board's playing out in your favor wide receiver wise, maybe you could even wait and steal him in the third.
Another name that came up in that PFF mock I mentioned, I believe that was Trevor Sikema. It was Jermaine Burton from Alabama. Lance Eline likes him a little bit more, but he was the third round pick in this mock. He doesn't have a ton of size. I think he's 6 foot, 196. But I think he's got some athleticism to him. He's obviously got the pedigree of Alabama. What do you like
about
him? He went
to Georgia before that. He transferred from Georgia to Alabama. So not a ton of guys out there who've played for both of those powerhouse programs. And, you know, I guess it's if you're not getting on the field as much as you want, or you're not getting the ball thrown your way as much as you want in that dominant Bulldogs offense, Crimson Tide, not a bad backup plan. And yeah, I mean, he's somebody who I think mostly played outside in Tuscaloosa, and another, you know, long, lean speedster who was highly productive when the ball did come his way. I think he'd, you know, also be worth a look in the second or third round. You'd, you know, have to decide if you're the Steelers, hey, can he be utilized in the slot? I guess one, you know, factor we don't necessarily know, a wild card, is could George Pickens morph into a bit of a big slot more than they've used him to this point in the NFL? I don't know. That's sort of up to them and what Arthur Smith is looking at schematically. But yeah, the only other thing I'll say with Burton beyond his on-field resume, he did have one incident that was, you know, made national news for sure. I don't think it was last season. I think it was two seasons ago. Alabama lost to Tennessee. Vols fans rushing the field as they were happy to see their program nationally relevant again. And a female fan got far too close to him, and he reached back and clocked her in the head. So, you know, he clearly took a hit character and reputation wise for that. I honestly don't know if he's somebody who's looked at as having character red flags, quote unquote, that always come up this time of year. But that is one, at least acute, isolated incident that, you know, we'll follow him to some extent, and hopefully he's, you know, put that behind him, and that was one really bad low moment for a guy who's otherwise a stand-up dude.
Yeah. So that'll be something to monitor as well. Brian, I want to get into some offensive line conversation. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning, a top ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News and World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Brian, one trend I'm noticing in a lot of these multi-round mocks, when we talk about the centers, and Jackson Powers Johnson, I think, is probably as close to a favorite as there is across the mock drafts. We try not to talk too much in every video about the guys that are getting picked most often, because otherwise we'd be talking about the same guys every week.
Variety's the spice of life. But if we were doing the bracket, Jackson Powers Johnson's the number one overall seed, and I'd probably have Brian Thomas down there in like the 10 or 11 range, trying to pull an upset.
Exactly. And I think the question I have for you, Brian, is that every time I see a multi-round mock where Jackson Powers Johnson is the first round pick, the impact of whoever they have in round two, round three, is substantially lower in my mind than if they go the direction of like a Zach Frazier in round two, and then they get an Amarius Mims in round one, or you know, a Cooper DeJean, a name we've talked about a lot, maybe a Brian Thomas, because, you know, he, you know, for all the flaws we talked about in terms of taking a possible wide receiver in the first round, he'd still be, I think, you know, one of the best receivers in the draft, an impact guy. When you're talking about the center market, does that enter into your thought process at all, is that Jackson Powers Johnson might be the better prospect, but Zach Frazier might be the better value for round and his day one potential to then allow you to add another spot in the first round.
Yeah, you always have to weigh that. I mean, that's a big piece of, you know, planning out the draft strategically and looking at your board and then getting involved in possible trade ups, trade downs. I think Omar Khan did a really good job his first time around last year of navigating those waters deftly and not missing out on any, I think, major positions that they had circled for what they needed to do to upgrade. But the problem with that, Adam, is, again, I mean, you just talked numbers and analytically, there's fewer things you need to account for at pick 20 versus let's wait and try to get a guy at pick 51. 30 is more than 20 spots in between. So there's different variables of teams trying to jump ahead of you. As the roster sits right now, any, you know, scouting department around the league can look at the Steelers depth chart and say, this team needs a center very badly and is probably going to take one early and not leave day two without one. So if we also want one of these guys, we might have to get in front of them. So that's, you know, where the equation becomes a little bit more difficult versus just let's circle our guy and go best available at a position of need in the first round. And I, you know, brought this up with Carter Friday, or maybe Chris brought it up in a, like a little bit of a light bulb went off for me. Is there some scarring a little for the Steelers of two back-to-back years in 21 and 22, you could have had Creed Humphrey and you kind of sort of took your chances of, we'll wait, we'll get a center we think's okay. Maybe there's not a huge drop off between him and Kendrick Green. Take Pat Freiermuth, and we know how that played out already. You don't need 10 years of revisionist history to make a ruling on that one. And then even the following year of not picking Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa, he goes to the Ravens a few picks later. Granted, you had Mason Cole signed already at that point and probably felt decent about having him in the fold as a free agent. But man, missing out on those two guys when you could have had them 2 years in a row. Will the Steelers just say, screw this, it's time, we can't make this mistake again with the top center in the draft, let's just take Jackson Powers Johnson, set it and forget it. We'll worry about it. It's almost like there's one position that we need to address and then giant gap, and then everything else we'll figure out.
Yeah, I think if you, a lot of this hypothetical stuff is, you know, if you told the Steelers that you could get Zach Frazier in round two, I think it makes the most sense. But you're right. Right. There's so much that can happen between here and there. And, you know, if you really believe in your scouting and developing, you should be able to get something solid with that second round pick if you do go Jackson Powers Johnson. And I think, I mean, that's why these guys are paid the big bucks, Brian, is can you find the value in any round? And I just think that a Jackson Powers Johnson is probably a higher degree of difficulty draft from that point forward than saying if you can get your center in round two. I think things get a little bit easier for Omar Khan, but you know, it shouldn't always be easy. This is the National Football League, right, Brian?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, it's just, it goes back to why we spend so much time in January, February, March, and April talking about where is this draft deep? Is it deep at O-line, or is it deep at wide receiver and corner and potentially tackle? So that's why I think I might disagree with you that the level of difficulty could ease up if you just take JPJ in round one. Steelers fans are already getting attached to this guy with the whole initialing and everything. So at times it almost feels like he already is a Steeler. Some people will tell you, hey, they didn't go to his pro day out in Eugene. That means that based on history and patterns and trends, they won't pull the trigger on them in round one. But I'm not sold on that being a hard and fast policy for them at this point. They might think, hey, he's a very clean prospect. We saw him down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, had a chance to see him more at the combine. Like, we're comfortable. We don't need to schlep all the way out to Oregon to make sure he'd be the guy. So, yeah, I mean, I think that there's just, you can get good receivers, you can get good corners, you can maybe even get good tackles a little bit lower down. Just gets dicey if you happen to fall into that second, third, fourth tier of centers, some of whom we've talked about at times on the show.
Yes, yes. And here's the thing. I mean, I like to talk through the contingencies. That's what's that's what makes the show interesting. But if you ask me, who am I betting on today for the Steelers to pick at number one, I would say Jackson Powers-Johnson as well.
Jackson Powers-Johnson, Adam. Has anyone told you that?
What'd you say?
You look a little bit like Jackson Powers-Johnson. Have you gotten that yet?
I think he's got much lighter hair than me, but you know, I will take the comparison to a guy I believe is like, what, coming up on 15 years younger than me?
Yeah, he just turned 21 in January. So let's see here. He might have a little lighter hair, but just at a glance, that's not too bad right there.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close.
Similar facial hair, at least in this mugshot of his Oregon roster media guide thing. So,
well, we've been talking a lot about lookalikes with the past couple of days with what was his name, Gelke
from Oakland
legend, looking like our former colleague Craig Meyer. That one cracked me up as I was sitting at the
somebody room. Also said Andrew Destin, our current colleague, is a decent call. Maybe Craig and Andrew combined was Jack Gelke of the Oakland Grizz.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'll take that lookalike.
I don't know if there's anybody who looks like me in this draft, but I'll always take another Brian. If you know, I should have put that in, one of the jelly beans in the pros of Brian Thomas Jr. And we'll always take another Brian. I don't think there's been a Brian on the Steelers since I've covered them. We had Brian Flores on the coaching staff, but don't know that there's been a player. So, although that's also kind of awkward sometimes too when you meet somebody who has the same name as you. Have you had that experience as well, Adam? Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of NFL Adams either. Adam Pac-Man Jones was one of the more prominent Adams. So
big tight end Adam Shaheen, he was like a D2 guy or something. I think he might still be bopping around the league. But
I'm just praying, I don't slip up and call Jackson Powers-Johnson Max Powers-Johnson, because I went to St. Valentine's School in Bethel Park with a Max Powers, and I've written it down many times, Brian. I don't think I've said it out loud yet, but I think it's going to happen one of these days, especially if they draft him.
Kenny Powers-Johnson.
Kenny Powers is also on there. There's lots of ways to Freudian slip there. Let's get into the quarterbacks a little bit. I had this written down as a topic last week, and then obviously we got sidetracked. Spencer Rattler was mocked to the Steelers last week as a later round quarterback option. Does he intrigue you at all specifically as a prospect? And then I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about generally the concept of taking a late round quarterback. Do you think that that's something that the Steelers need to be looking at closely in like a Brock Purdy type of way, saying, listen, we've got our number one in Russell Wilson. We've got our number two in Justin Fields, but there are some contractual questions and about his future here and all of that. Is this the perfect spot to go out and get a possible high upside guy who also has flaws? And I think Spencer Rattler probably fits in that conversation because he was a productive quarterback in college, but he was far from perfect as well.
I was almost going to frame it in the opposite way a little bit, in that I think the only thing that's really shifted for me from Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett quarterback room to Russell Wilson, Justin Fields quarterback room is, while I still think having that young second or third or fourth year guy on the depth chart means that you probably don't draft, you don't want to use draft resources on a quarterback before day three and maybe even before like the last two or three rounds. But I think now, because Russell Wilson is such a polarizing player around the league at this point, and we don't necessarily know the true feelings of the Steelers decision makers on him, they're going to say everything's great and he's still got a lot left in the tank, but it's easy to say when you signed him for hardly anything. And then you go out and you do bring in Justin Fields to fortify that unit. So because it's a little bit of a risk, I think, with 36-year-old Russ, and because we know Justin Fields is inherently carrying, boom or bust labels at this point, because we've seen some booms in his time with the Bears and we've seen some busts of games and performances. I think it would make more sense to look at a late round QB who has maybe a higher floor than a higher ceiling. You know, I'm not entirely sure where I put Spencer Rattler in that mix, because he does have the pedigree of five-star guy, number one player in his class and all that jazz. But for all the credit I give him for competing at the combine, he didn't test very well in doing so. I think a lot of people assumed he was a little bit more athletic than that. And that's only one data point. Some guys play more athletic than they run in tights in a straight line, especially quarterbacks. So, you know, he's somebody who I guess is still on my radar, but I'm looking more at, whereas if it would have been a Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett pairing, I might have taken a long look at Joe Milton from Tennessee, because he's got the size that those two don't, and he's got the laser rocket arm that those two, we'll see about Russ, but at least the Kenny Pickett, I don't think necessarily has. Now I might flip it and say, okay, you've got somebody with all the physical attributes you could possibly want, really, in Fields. What if we just get somebody who's kind of been a winner in college and might not be a sexy pick, might not have the flashiest tape, but can just win games and get the job done for you? The first quarterback in this class who elicits those feelings from me is Jordan Travis from Florida State. He's coming off a leg injury that ended his season and essentially theirs too. Big reason why they didn't get picked for this college football playoff, but he's somebody who progressed each and every year with the Seminoles and is a, you know, by all accounts, big time leader, good locker room guy. And maybe he's got some of that Brock Purdy-esque moxie and gamer to him.
Well, I think part of this question, Brian, is how do you view Brock Purdy? Through what lens? I think there's some people who could say he's an upside guy because
he could write a book on that at this point. But yeah, right. I mean, there's a lot of differing opinions on him.
Is he a high upside guy, or do you look at him and say he was a winner in college? And like, if you were a college football fan, like I think you and me, you weren't surprised that Brock Purdy. I always love it when these NFL guys act like, you know, a guy like Brock Purdy came out of the primordial ooze and like no one had ever heard of him before, and now he's, you know, leading the 40. Like, I always looked at him as a really solid player, and I'm not surprised that he knew how to throw a football when he got to the NFL.
I was surprised just in the sense that all the gurus who study this stuff year round had basically left him for dead as a prospect. So I compartmentalized and put more emphasis on that than, like you just sort of mentioned. Yeah, I've seen this guy play. His numbers have been good for a long time. He was previously mentioned probably after like his freshman or sophomore year with the Cyclones, that he could be a first round type of quarterback. And then for whatever reason, scouting community fell out of love with him. But I mean, he obviously, his upside was immense when you look at it as they used the very last pick of the draft on the guy. And then he had them on the doorstep of winning the Super Bowl in February. But I think his draft profile, you know, measurables and all that was considered more of a decent floor, but his ceiling's going to be relatively low.
Yeah. So I think, you know, which version of Brock Purdy do you look at most? I think that probably informs the comparison there. Brian, I want to wrap up the show talking a little bit about the corners. The picks have really cooled off at that position in the last couple of weeks, despite the fact that the Steelers have not really made a significant move there apart from acquiring Dante Jackson from the Panthers in the Deontay Johnson trade. Do you attribute that to what you've been saying for a few weeks now, where maybe people are reevaluating the need at that spot and really are looking at JPJ as that number one, and that the need is more for a Robin than a second Batman across the field? Because I think Cooper DeJean was the only other pick that I saw this week. And increasingly, it feels like he's the one that makes the most sense because of his versatility. Because I think that kind of fits what you're talking about often with the cornerbacks, is he doesn't need to be the other Batman. He can be a versatile piece that just helps the secondary in general.
Yeah, and the other player in this corner class that I would maybe lump in that with that too, and I don't think he'll last the 20 probably, but Terrion Arnold from Alabama, because I think, you know, while he can obviously play on the outside, I think he could play in the slot too. Then you just get into, you know, is it really good draft capital management to use a first-round pick on a slot corner? But, you know, sometimes players can move in and out, and, you know, we saw the value that Cam Sutton had for this defense in that role. But yeah, I mean, that's my take on corner for the Steelers, is somewhat similar to receiver. Big difference in the position. One of them, you choose where the ball's going. The other one, they choose you, whether they want to throw your way or not. So certainly helps to have two. lockdown guys, but I mean, hey, it would help to have all pro potential at every position on your roster, but we know that's not realistic in a salary cap league like the NFL. So you have to pick and choose where you spend less, both in terms of investing picks and salary. And, you know, they're getting by a little bit on the cheap right now with Dante Jackson taking that pay cut from the Panthers. And yeah, again, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times, I still think there's a couple balls of clay to mold and potentially develop in Darius Rush and Corey Trice on the outside, one of whom didn't play much because of, you know, readiness for the NFL, and the other one who didn't play much because he tore his ACL in Latrobe and was out for the entire season. So yeah, I would, you know, still not turn my back on a good corner if the price is right in second, third, fourth, fifth round or whatever. But I don't know that I'd be prioritizing that over some of the other positions. Again, tackle, center, wide out, possibly even D-line. We've mentioned Darius Robinson on the show before. Maybe you and Ray did. He was a pre-draft visitor for the Steelers as well, according to, I think it was Ian Rappaport who said that. And I just think back to when the Steelers took Isaiah Loudermilk. There was a collective, like, people in the room being like, why did you just draft this late round fringe candidate in the fifth and you traded a fourth round pick to do it? And both Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin were sort of like, hey, there aren't that many dudes every year coming out of college who are built like he is and played in a defense with an odd front. So maybe there will be some similar philosophy to them liking a guy like Darius Robinson, defensive end out of Mizzou, than we might think.
Yeah, yeah, he's a name. I think he was on my list of guys to talk about in our canceled show last week as well. So I'm glad we touched on him briefly before we sign off. Brian, any final thoughts before we go watch some hoops here?
No, I don't think so. Pitt Pro Day is next week, so there will be some more local crossover with Steelers draft and obviously the Panthers. But a lot of those are winding down as we're taping this on Friday. Michigan's is going on, and I believe it was rumored that Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Arthur Smith, and Terrell Austin all going to be there in Ann Arbor for that one with a record group of collegiate players who were invited to the combine. So just don't be surprised if by the end of day three, there's a Michigan Wolverine added to the Steelers roster.
Yeah, I think Michigan's got to be added to that list of programs now that has the pedigree that the Steelers like. We know they like guys from big schools that did big things, and obviously Michigan winning the national championship puts them on that list. So definitely pay attention to that. Brian, that is it for us this week. Christopher Carter will be back on the North Shore Drive on Monday, so make sure you're subscribed to the channel for that. We're going to get into some Pirates again next week. Baseball's coming, Brian, so excited to have some Jason Mackey, some Noah Heil, some Andrew Destin on the channel. I will be back with Paul Zeiss on Thursday, Seth Engel on Wednesday for the Penn State show. So lots more coming your way. Subscribe, like the video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.